And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, Carl Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning on March the 8th. She'll be back tomorrow with us. And 7:05 is the time. And the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts there.
Linda's going to be here on a Tuesday?
Linda's going to be here on a Tuesday.
All right.
Nope, if she skips Monday. And she got back yesterday afternoon from Sacramento, and then we had a lot of stuff to do, and she's got things to catch up on today, so she'll be here tomorrow.
That sounds good.
We have Shasta Regional Medical Center tomorrow, Turtle Bay. It's going to be a busy show. And then a couple of meetings right afterwards that she needs to be at with me. And so there.
Uh-huh.
And I, of course, Ashley here.
Happy National Proofreading Day, which is one of my favorites, of course.
You being the writer and editor and
yes.
Publisher. You know, is that kind of like being the judge, the jury, and the executioner?
In a way, yes.
In a way.
In the publishing world, that's very a good analogy okay. for all
so
that.
You write a book, you edit a book, and then you give it to yourself, and you go, yeah, I just don't think I can publish this one. Has that ever happened?
I'm not the only editor. A lot of the point of an editor is to act on behalf of the audience. So if something doesn't make sense, it might make sense to the author because they wrote it, but it doesn't always make sense to the reader. So the editor acts in that capacity in a lot of ways. So I always, everything I publish make sure I get at least 3 sets of eyes on the manuscript before it goes out. But,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when, you write, you know, you're writing reports and after-action reports especially,
mm-hmm.
it's very clear to you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get from this point to 12 miles away? Oh, okay. The other thing, too, is having that second or third set of eyes on it. Because,
yeah.
you know, just to make sure that everybody catches everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually, in these books I'm reading now, C.J. Box, who writes these, he's written like 20 books on this, on a Montana, I'm sorry, a Wyoming game warden by the name of Joe Pickett, the Joe Pickett series. He talked about in this one paragraph where he was a banker, and in the next paragraph, it was a doctor.
Hmm.
It was just, you know, about a court case. And that's the only time you never got their names or anything, but it went mm-hmm. from banker to doctor. Now, most people maybe not even notice that.
Yeah.
But it was noticeable enough. I went back and reread the paragraph a couple of times. And, well, maybe I missed but in reality, the rest of it,
yeah.
you know, that's the first little error I've seen. And that's an editing type thing.
Yes, an editor will definitely catch that and go, are these
the
two separate people? We need to make sure that's clear. Does this person have two very different kinds of jobs?
Yeah.
That's part of an editor's job, yeah.
yeah. Now, do editors make a lot of money?
It depends on who you're editing for. If you're editing for publishing, like Random House, then yes, you're going to make plenty of money.
You don't have anything to do with picking the books, though, right?
The
way it works.
The publisher does.
Yeah. So the way it works is I write a manuscript
mm-hmm.
and I send it in to Putnam and all these other ones. Who does the reading, the initial reading? Do they hire people for that, obviously.
So we're just going to talk about the traditional publishing world, which is not the world I'm as familiar with.
I understand.
But generally, your agent will be the first person doing your reading there. So if you don't have an agent, then they have talent scout type characters at most traditional publishing houses.
Mm-hmm.
They will then go and basically read your first page, and if they like it, they'll ask for your first chapter. If they like that, they're going to ask for your full manuscript.
So when you send something to them, you don't really send the whole manuscript.
No.
Okay, you send a few pages.
Yeah.
Maybe the foreword or the preface or something like that.
They're generally asking for chapter one. A lot of people, if you have a foreword, it's often nonfiction. Mm-hmm. A prologue is, if you aren't already established, is not a great idea, just because a lot of readers skip that and they move to chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to experience it as a reader would and go, okay, this is chapter one. This is the first thing they're saying out of the gate is blah, blah, blah. Okay. Is this something that would keep me turning the pages? And if it does, then they'll ask for more and more and eventually the whole manuscript and turn it around and send it to their teams and get it made into a book.
Okay. So that first chapter really is so important.
Yeah,
even the first few pages is really important because they get obviously thousands of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it turns out that the first chapter for a lot of authors isn't actually where the story starts. So if you're looking at submitting a manuscript, look at possibly cutting out the first chapter, especially if you're heavy on word count, and start on chapter two, and that ends up inevitably being a better start to your story, especially if it's your first manuscript.
Oh.
Little tip there.
That's like my start of, they found the body at the bottom, in the water at the bottom of Burney Falls.
Great. That's a good way to start it.
Yeah,
but don't move backward from there.
Yeah, I only need
Everyone wants to move backward from there, which is not
well,
the goal.
Well, at some point there, you kind of give the background of the people that are involved in it, right?
Yes and no. You want to do that in the characters as they're moving forward.
Okay.
So then the investigator's like, oh, not again.
Okay.
Then we're giving backstory, but we're still moving the plot forward.
Okay. All right, so...
As an editor.
I got it.
This is how we want to structure a story.
Well, good morning, everybody. We don't have the weather. We haven't done the weather yet.
We haven't. So. It's National Proofreading Day, and you got me on a tangent.
Well, you know, that's easy to do because you love writing.
I do. But we are looking at 70% showers today, tomorrow, and into Wednesday. The first moments that it's going to clear up is looking like Wednesday night, 20% chance of showers, and then up to 60 degrees on Thursday and 66 on Friday. We're clearing up. But we're looking at a high of only 53 degrees today and a low of about 40, and that'll continue. If you like what you see today, you'll see it Tuesday and Wednesday also.
Okay. But we need the rain. I keep saying
absolutely.
It. Everybody keeps agreeing, and
mm-hmm.
it keeps kind of it promises, and it's like a spiteful lover. It promises and promises, but doesn't come through, right? Like, okay, we can go out tonight, but because
mm-hmm.
something happens. Okay,
but we should be getting plenty of rain. Tomorrow is going to be our heaviest day for rain. We're looking at 70% today, 90% tomorrow, and then 80% Tuesday night into Wednesday.
Well, it's cold outside, and you look at the clouds, I can't imagine it not raining today.
Yeah, and we're getting lots of snow, which is great because our mm-hmm. peak of the snowpack is supposed to be April 1, and mm-hmm. They're going to go out and check it. When they checked March 1, it was woefully under what it should be this time of year. So hopefully this storm will bring us extra snowpack and get us closer to on track for this year.
Super. Great. Okay, hey, look, the weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas, Propane, and Anderson-based business that is a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, We've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m. Also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
That justice is one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your boys. You gotta draw a hard line.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. It's Monday, the 8th of March, 7:17 in the morning. Phone lines here 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com and hop into our chat room, as many have. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only area hospital with the Da Vinci surgical robotic system. It helps enable your surgeon to perform a minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments and a 3D high-definition view. Less pain, reduced risk, and fast recovery times at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Patrick Jones, wants to have a Second Amendment resolution introduced and passed by the Board of Supervisors, saying that we support the Second Amendment up here. During Constitution Week every year, between September 17th and 23rd, Supervisor Leonard Modi has said that the proclamation means the county supports all the amendments in the Constitution, including the second, the right to keep and bear arms. So why do, you know, so the question is, if that's the case, why do we need a Second Amendment resolution? Well, according to Mr. Jones, Patrick, that we're under attack. The Second Amendment had various types of laws passed limiting your rights under the Second Amendment to the point where you have to be be registered to buy ammo. You can only buy certain kinds of guns in California. Throughout the United States. I mean, it's gone up to the Supreme Court twice that actually said you have a right to own a gun in your home. Can you believe that? That in Washington, D.C., that you didn't have a right to even have a gun in your home. Well, that went up to the Supreme Court, and they said, oh, no, you absolutely do. So what Patrick Jones is saying is that, in my opinion, we'll have Patrick on to talk about it, is that Second Amendment resolution means just that, is that we support the Second Amendment, that we do believe that we have the right to own firearms, as many as we want, ammunition, as much as we want, if and we'll talk about that in a second, and not to have onerous restrictions put on us for this. Should felons have guns? No. Should people that are mentally disabled have guns? No. Should children have guns? No. Should guns be stored correctly so none of those people I just talked about have access to the guns? Yes. Safe handling of firearms? Yes. Being able to arm yourself to protect yourself? Absolutely. And yet there are places in this state where you cannot get a concealed carry permit because they don't think you need to protect yourself. Because we have police that, as police will tell you, police, I don't care which policeman from San Francisco to Biloxi, Mississippi will tell you, they can't be there in every case.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away.
There you go. We have a 7.5, maybe almost 8-minute response time, down from like 14 or 15 minutes where it was a couple years ago, which is tremendous. That's 7 minutes. What can happen in 7 minutes? Your house can burn down. Or if they don't catch it because of all the new types of fuels they have inside the house, if they don't catch it in that first 10 minutes, I mean, you've lost it. So imagine you can't have a firearm to protect yourself or your loved ones, and you have to wait for the police. Well, that's the way it is in many counties in California. Why is that? Here in Shasta County, it is the sheriff believes in the Second Amendment. He believes in people pass the background check, who go through the classes, who fire the guns that they're going to be carrying, should get a permit. And that is so important. Can you imagine a sheriff running under the guise of, well, not everybody. You know, there's way too many guns here in Shasta County. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine any sheriff running for that office that would actually say that. First of all, it would make no sense. So this is what Jones wants. He wants to have this resolution, and the other thing he wants to do is he wants to have the other supervisors vote on it. Well, I don't know how. It's not even his resolution. It's from the California Rifle and Pistol Association that has put this out there and to let the county boards do it. And if you're looking at something that like the red, white, and blueprint that you've heard so much about lately, is the fact that people want to take control of their local government. Well, people should be able to have a say in their local government, and I'm not talking a violent change or anything like that, and they are not advocating that either. But on voting, so you would like to have people in here in our elected positions that represent the views of the citizens of this county. One of the reasons that Democrats can't get traction up here, if I can just say this, really fine candidates. I really like Elizabeth Betancourt. She is a very bright person who has great ideas on thinning forest, water, a number of things. But Elizabeth doesn't believe that guns shouldn't be restricted, so-called assault firearms. That's one of the things that means a lot to the people up here, is having the right to own a firearm. Hell, a liberal Democrat in Reading has 2 pistols and 3 rifles. So, anyway, okay, moving on from there. It'll be interesting to see if the resolution comes up. Chick-fil-A. Can I say this? Chick-fil-A is going to be open. I've never had a Chick-fil-A piece of food. They're going to be having next Thursday. It will be this Thursday. The restaurant's going to open at 6:30, but only drive-through. So if it's like the reopening of Kentucky Fried Chicken, it'll take you 2 hours to get your, you know, the line is so long. I don't know. I've never had Chick-fil-A. Has anybody out there had Chick-fil-A? And is it that much better than other chicken that you can get, like Popeyes? And, well, I'm not crazy about either Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes, frankly. It's one of those things that once every 12 years you need to do, though. I mean, just to make sure that it still tastes the same. And for a lot of my friends, and I'm, you know what? I'm going to save this story till my next guest comes in. All right. And now let's talk about Joe Biden. Do you mind if I – okay. Let me talk about something else first. The Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were interviewed. Their interview, 2 hour interview, was on the TV last night. I of course didn't watch it, but I guess a lot of people did. They paid them between $7 and $9 million for that 2 hour interview, and it's on the front pages everywhere. And I guess I just don't understand this huge continuing adulation of the royal family. I don't get it. Queen Elizabeth is like the richest woman in the world. They don't even know how much she's worth. It's so much. The grounds they have, the different palaces, the different homes, the travel, the ship that they, you know, that she rides in. You know, they do. She has a they call it the yacht, but it's big enough to, you know, circumnavigate the world a few times. I don't understand this huge adulation of it. I mean, but then again, I'm not British. Maybe I don't. But to have this, why this is such a big thing? Is it because, you know, they split, of course, Harry and whatever her name is,
Meghan
split from the royal family. So, and was this a tell-all type of interview? I don't know. Things I have read. You can't avoid reading about it, by the way. You go to any site, and it's like the lead story on any site. I mean, Breitbart, come on. What they should be talking about is what's happening at the border. This last month, we set a record for unaccompanied minors that were being held at the border, 7,000 last month, unaccompanied minors. Which was a couple thousand more than happened in January, which was about the same amount that happened in December. Unaccompanied minors are flooding the border. People are wearing T-shirts that say "Biden, let me in." Okay, wait a minute. So they're using facilities that were overflow facilities for COVID. So they're putting them into those facilities. Now, how many of these youngsters have been vaccinated? How many COVID-19 people are coming across the border? And get this, when they get them in there, they've already moved thousands into the interior of the United States. The towns. Just, here you go. Here's your share. I find this so interesting because they're keeping them in the same facilities that Trump did, that Obama built, and yet I'm not seeing photos of kids in the cages. How come?
There were never any cages.
Okay, the reception center. Oh, by the way, the detention centers' names have been changed, you know, right there on the border, to reception centers. Does that one word change?
Tells you detention about to their priorities.
Yeah, detention to reception. We've got a problem down there, my friends, and it's getting worse because they're coming by the tens of thousands. And I think immigration is great. Legal immigration is great. We built this country on legal immigration, but when you get hundreds of thousands of people that come across that border. And, you know, we can get into the statistics of how many of them show up for their, you know, their hearings, all these things. Even the ones that, you know, the deals that Trump made to keep them down in Mexico and other places down in Central America, Mr. Biden did away with every one of those agreements. And so you wonder why we're having a crisis here. Yet nobody seems to be, you know, the mainstream media doesn't seem to be taking this on. And when I say the mainstream media, you know, the major ones, well, Fox does. And
but Harry and Meghan had a tell-all interview.
But so the front page on everything else is not the 7,000 they set a new record for unaccompanied minors across the border. No, it's Meghan and Harry. Who cares? I don't care. They're infinitely wealthy, and their kid can't become a prince. I mean, so it's because he married a commoner, and they want them to change that. You know, change those rules. Well, we got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. Sleep Number beds have made a difference in Linda's and my life, in the sense that you sleep, you know you're going to get a good night's sleep. You can adjust the bed, each side, to the firmness you want. My Sleep Number setting is last night was 50. I dropped it, and Linda's was 45. Her Sleep Number setting was 45. But you can do that because it works for us. If I wanted it higher, I can do that. You can get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year, and they've done studies on this by using the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. In fact, Linda and I are going to be doing an upgrade to that bed here in the next couple of weeks, which as you move through the night, it adjusts as you move. The other types of things is, you know, that when you get more sleep, you're healthier. It's one of the three tenets, you know, sleep, exercise, and a good diet that's going to keep you healthier, especially during these times. And now they're introducing this new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed designed to make life-changing difference to your health and wellness from $9.99. Only at our Sleep Number stores, and that is, of course, over in the Target Shopping Center. Going down. Lie on a bed, and see what the difference is and what a difference it can make in your life. Only at Sleep Number in the Target Shopping Center. We'll be right back.
Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day, where the people laugh and children play. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A. Suddenly.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the visible river aquarium, caverns exhibits, parrot playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Aaron Bell, nicknamed Billy Goat Bell, became the first Superior Court judge in Shasta County in 1880 and served until 1891. It was he who gave the order to move the county seat from Shasta to Reading. The first high school in Shasta County was established in Judge Aaron Bell's nine-room house at the corner of West and Placer Streets in Reading in 1899. In 1902, a new high school was completed facing Placer Street. Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Annual auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items and supporting Turtle Bay. Bidding begins March 11th. Tune in for the live virtual watch party March 20th on Facebook Live or YouTube. Go to turtlebay.org and click the online auction banner to register and learn more.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Sit down by the fire. Sit down by the fire.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment today. We'll be back tomorrow. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, aren't we? Yes, it appears we are. And hop into our chat room at KCNR1460.com, our webpage. And, you know, just our webpage, not our webpage, but the chat room sometimes follows the show and sometimes doesn't. But you see a lot of great discussions in there all the time. 7:36 in the morning and 46 degrees out there. It's going to rain. We got a 70% chance of rain. Let's hope that happens. And this portion of the show brought to you by Reading Electric Utility. Thinking about purchasing an electric car? They have rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. And so we're not talking like $200. We're talking up into the thousands here. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. And I'm here with Jennifer.
Morning.
I'm sure Jennifer has a last name.
Jennifer Finnegan, Lassen Park Foundation. How
Jennifer
you doing?
Finnegan. I knew it was Lassen Park Foundation. I've met Jennifer before, but I really talked to her for, I think, the most last Thursday night when you had that great foundation fundraiser.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
What I wanted to talk to you about before we get started about Lassen Park is it appears that the a deal negotiated between the United States and Britain will see a temporary suspension in tariffs placed on certain goods. These items include scotch and other whiskey drinks.
Oh, heavens. Heaven forbid. You're bringing that up because of my whiskey tasting event, aren't you?
So whiskey's going to get cheaper. No, you know what? It was a great fundraiser. I think I might have talked about it a little bit on Friday.
Well, thank you.
No, it really was. But before we get into things like that, tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, I live in Cottonwood up here in Northern California. I've been here for about 7 years with my family and my husband, Ryan, my two kids, Samantha
Ryan
and Jack.
Ryan Finnegan.
How Irish is that?
I mean, can you get more? Does he look Irish?
Yes, very much. Yeah. Curly black hair, tall, thin, muscular. Yeah.
Okay.
Little scrapper. Yeah. Good
with
man.
A name like Finnegan, you got
to... You kind of have to hold up to that name. Yeah, you got to.
I mean, you don't pick fights, but you don't walk away from them.
That's right. Don't start them, but you better finish them.
So,
the family motto.
The don't start, but you better be standing at the end. Okay, so well, more about you then. Okay, that's your family.
We live in
Cottonwood.
That's our family. We live in Cottonwood. I work with Lassen Park Foundation. I've been doing that for 6 years now. And the family gets dragged up to the park on a regular basis because of it. It's really fun. We even like to – we moved up here from San Diego, so we bring friends from San Diego up and show them snow in July, which is just fascinating to them. We get real popular that way.
Well, it's there.
It is. That's what's so fun about it.
Yeah, it is. Okay. And the and Lassen Park is one of – even though it's magnificent – it is magnificent.
It is magnificent.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, it is.
I mean, you got the the boiling mud,
sulfur works.
The sulfur works. Mm-hmm. You've got beautiful lakes out there. When you, they're called emerald and turquoise for reasons.
Mm-hmm. Lake Helen is gorgeous.
And you can walk through there. You can fish out on the main lake that comes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet,
Kings Creek is the best one.
Kings Creek is an excellent hike. Absolutely.
I grew up on the. Right next
to there's beautiful hikes there. You want to hike a mile in and take a lunch or something like that. I mean, it's just beautiful.
It is.
And yet, Lassen Park is one of the, I read someplace, one of the least visited parks in the United States.
Well, that was true before COVID. And then California State shut down all the state parks, and it looks like everybody came to Lassen. Last year was the highest visitation count in the park in history, I believe. I could be wrong, but that's what I understand. Yeah, because of COVID. It was slammed. It was slammed last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they shut down everything else, you think?
Yeah, that's the understanding. That's what the Rangers are telling me. The visitation was through the roof, which is good and bad. You know, the good is our park gets visitation. That means there's fees money to do backlog maintenance, to get trail restoration done. There's now some money in the park to do those big things. But... you know, we like going to Kings Creek because it's beautiful and it's quiet and there's only a few people on the trails. Now there's hundreds. So that there's a give and take. And there's a fine line between, good, we have enough visitors that we can fix things up and make it great. And, oh, we have enough visitors. We have too many visitors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, folks like me who like to go up there and who have been for a long time, that's a give and take.
I didn't realize that it got slammed like that this year.
It did. And even this winter, we were up there Friday, actually, right after our whiskey tasting. I was up there in the morning playing in the snow, and the parking lots were full up at Manzanita Lake on a Friday afternoon when there's still snow everywhere, and the Highway 89 is still closed, and it's still packed. And that's something that the park has been looking at, actually, at some of the upcoming projects over the next few years that you'll see coming out of the park is accessibility studies and some renovation ideas happening up there. It's kind of exciting what we're going to be seeing up at Lassen Volcanic National Park.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's absolutely beautiful, but it took us 10 years to get there.
Oh, well, I hope it doesn't take you 10 years to get back.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
good. Okay.
No. It's not like going to whiskey tastings. In fact, as soon as when is it going to be open? When do roads usually get open?
So it varies dramatically because it all depends on the snow levels. You probably saw in the news last week, snow levels are lower than usual. The water content is lower, so my guess is it'll be open a little bit earlier this year. But normally, sometime in June. On a late year when there's a lot of snow, it could be late as July that it opens, but we're hoping earlier than that.
Okay. Yeah, that's our next set of guests are starting to roll in here.
Perfect.
Either that or they're bandits because they have bandanas over their face. They're dressed in black and, oh my gosh, it's Antifa. No. the road through the park, it's not that long a drive, and
it's
there's
beautiful.
So many places to pull off and take. Now, when you first come in that main lake, which one's that?
Manzanita Lake on the north end.
Now, I understand that you had an incident out there. So,
are you speaking about our friendly neighborhood otters?
I had a good time with that story.
I'll bet.
If you haven't heard the story, it's that somebody was out there on a kayak, I guess. And
that sounds right.
And they here came an otter out, and I mean the attack otter.
Well, it was Mama Otter protecting
Mama
her
otter.
Den of babies.
Yeah. Yeah, you got in there a little bit close, and Mama Otter was making sure that you didn't get any closer. But that made, you know, of course, you know, that made, I don't know if it was front page news, but it could have been here.
Yeah,
in the
it was
record
all over
search
for
light.
A while.
You know,
it was.
Did it go national?
I have no idea.
We have, like, if we don't have enough going on up here. Fires, you know, pandemic. Volcanoes, mudslides. Now we have the angry...
We have the angry mama otter.
You have the angry otter, the attack otter.
Well, as far as I know, she's still up there. You know, they've got that section of the trail blocked off and are warning people about it because that's her habitat now. You know, that's where she lives.
There you go.
And the national park is there to protect her and protect all her little babes.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Lassen Park Foundation.
Glad to.
And why it's why you all formed, when it formed, and what you do. What does the Lassen Park Foundation do?
I will tell you all of that.
If you're suffering from orthopedic injuries, strains, or sprains, stop by Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang are there to get you back into action. Kevin has worked with the American Gymnastics team. He's got lots of experience in rehabbing those sports injuries. And Rachel has a lot of experience in keeping our, if you're retired military, you may be, a cop on the beat, any of these things. She's worked a lot with keeping people, rehabbing them from injuries that they've suffered in the job. So, Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance, give them a call at 533-5030. 533-5030. 5030. Give them a call today. All right, we'll be right back with Jennifer Finnegan.
Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, we must away ere break of day to find our long forgotten gold.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bob. Linda's on assignment today, be back tomorrow morning, and I'm with Jennifer Finnegan, who is the heads up the Lassen Park Foundation, and we've talked about Lassen Park, and I said it was one of, you know, it was an underappreciated gem if you looked at the average numbers. But then Jennifer said this past year, because of COVID, it went through the roof because state parks and all these were shut down. And I can imagine that. And so, but the problem with that is one of the reasons we enjoyed Lassen National Park is we can walk around out there. We can park our car anywhere. We can.
That's right.
And then, but that wasn't so much the case.
Locals have to learn to share now.
Yeah, and even Friday you said the main parking lot was filled with cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. Tell us what Lassen Park Foundation is, Jennifer.
Lassen Park Foundation is an official nonprofit partner to Lassen Volcanic National Park. We've been around since 1984, and a lot of what we do is capital fundraising. So we helped raise money for the Komi-Monte Visitor Center construction, for the Lassen Peak Trail restoration, the Volcano Adventure Camp construction, the Lassen Crossroads construction. Those are big projects that we do over 5 to 10 year spans from concept to completion. But aside from that, we also do a youth camping program where we provide grants to underserved kids through youth groups, through camping grants, 3 to 5 day trips up to Lassen. We also fund a couple of seasonal educational ranger positions at the park so that when the kids and their groups do go up there, they get to learn about volcanology, astrobiology, leave no trace principles, et cetera. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great job. I love what I do.
Well, you usually have about 1,000 kids up there.
On a normal year,
You know, running them through the summer camps. And this past year, you only had like 100.
We had 300.
Oh, 300.
300. Yeah, don't sell me short, Carl. We did good. But
okay,
it was small.
I knew it was 100-something. So
small.
I thought it was just, 300.
300, yeah.
Now, where do the kids come from?
All over. Our farthest group came from Florida a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah. We have probably 30 to 40% that come from the North State here in California. We have several groups that come from the Bay Area and Southern California. Mm-hmm. We also have regular visitation from Oregon and Western Nevada. So
okay.
We do have quite a spread.
And do the kids just show up?
No, it is through a grant
work?
Program. So actually the grant program is open right now. Thank you for asking, Carl. You can go online at LassenParkFoundation.org and apply for a grant for up to $1,000.
Uh-huh.
For your youth group to go camping at the park for 3 to 5 days.
So they come to you under the grant system.
Correct.
Got it. And then you all have places for them to sleep, and you kind of like cycle them through, and you say for how many days?
3 to 5 days.
Okay, so they're there, say, 5 days. They leave. You clean up the area, and then the next group comes in.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
And we built about 4 or 5 years ago the Volcano Adventure Camp. It's a facility designed specifically for youth groups. So it's broken up into 10 tent cabins. They have cabins. They don't need to bring their own tents. They have bunk cots to sleep in. They have bear lockers, fire pits, showers, solar-powered showers. So they've got the works there. It's beautiful. It's a great facility.
Wow.
Of course, getting a kid to go shower on a camping trip is hard. It's much easier to throw them in Summit Lake.
And they come in with their own adult supervision?
They do. They are own adult supervision.
And that's one of the things that are required, I'm sure. You just want to,
absolutely,
don't want to turn 10 kids loose from Avalon, Missouri.
Yeah, we'll send them up there with some grown-ups.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. You know, this is one of the reasons that you had your fundraiser last Thursday night.
Absolutely.
Was it a success?
It was a success. It was a lot of fun. We actually did two of them because we had a larger group initially and wanted to break it up and do some social distancing. So we broke it into two small groups. So I got to do whiskey tasting 2 weeks in a row. That was kind of fun. And I survived.
We all survived.
Some more than others.
Some were in better shape than others on Friday morning. And thanks for coming back over to the house afterwards.
Of course.
We hosted an impromptu. And this really, you know, when I called Linda, and she said, I said, hey, honey, can I bring some people over? She said, I said, honey, I'm bringing some people over. Get ready.
Maybe it was the latter.
Well, it could have been. I'm not sure. Anyway, I know that metal detectors are illegal. Now, let me say is that Jennifer is with the foundation. She is not with the park itself, but she's got a lot of knowledge. There may be specific questions that she's not up on, like, are metal detectors, are they illegal to use in the, are they illegal to use in Lassen Park?
I believe they are, but you would want to call the park and double check.
Okay. I wonder why that is. Keep people from digging.
Protected lands, yeah.
Okay. One of the things that you mentioned during the break that I want to bring up is with the huge influx of people, they're not as careful in some of the things they do, like when they're camping, and by using the, you said, the bear-proof containers?
There's bear-proof canisters when you go backpacking into the backcountry that you should bring with you. If you don't have one, you can rent them at the park.
Okay.
At either the Loomis Museum or at the Komiumani Visitor Center to take with you. So your food and any scented item should be stored in that container overnight. And it's not just that people aren't as careful, it's that they just don't know. We had so many first-time national park visitors last year that they just didn't know the rules and know why the precautions are there.
And what that does is, then the bears find the food, and they associate people with the food.
And they did. Unfortunately, we had a couple bears last year that discovered that neat little trick that backpackers bring food with them. And they did have to close down some of the backcountry, the wilderness areas, for a while last year because of it, to give bears a chance to move away.
Yeah. And see, there's the thing, too, is that, you know, because we go out into country that bears are in, but if you do all the right things, there's no reason for them to bother you.
Right.
On the other hand, our bear population is getting bigger every year, and that we're going to have to find a way to coexist up there.
Yeah, and in the national park lands, at least, that's their home that we're invading in, and we need to treat it as such.
When did the last volcano erupt?
It erupted over a couple of years. I believe the first tremblings were 1915 and the big eruption in 1916.
I lost that question in the question and answer.
Did you?
Well, you asked your trivia there, and I'm thinking, I thought it was like 1912.
Not quite that early.
I didn't think it was 1915, but the photographs were taken by some guy. Yeah. Some local guy.
B.F. Loomis.
B.F. Loomis.
Benjamin Franklin Loomis.
Yeah, that set his camera up there and got some. If you have not been up to Lassen National Volcanic Park, you need to go up there, my friends. And if you want to help keep this place going and add on things, check out the Lassen National Volcanic Park group.
Lassen Volcanic National Park or Lassen Park Foundation.
LassenParkFoundation.org. They have fundraisers during the year, and a lot of people participate in it because we'd like to do that because you all do a lot of great things up there.
Well, we like you to have fun while you're giving us your money, so that's why we do that.
Oh, I can't imagine. I've been to several of them, and it is a good time. People are jovial, and we learn a lot, and, you know, on Thursday, I wanted to make sure that you were on so we could talk about it, and this won't be the last time, because this is just, again, for the most part, a hidden gem.
It is, and we love it, and we love promoting the park, and we love sending kids camping. I mean, who doesn't enjoy that? The pictures that we get out of there and the stories of the kids, of them discovering that there were that many stars in the sky, or learning on day two of a camping trip that they don't miss their cell phone coverage anymore, that's amazing to hear stories back from the groups that have been up there.
No cell phone coverage.
No cell phone coverage.
You know what?
And no electricity.
And no electricity.
And they manage.
And a warm shower, not necessarily a hot shower.
Sometimes not even that.
Not even that. Let's start teaching them about life.
Well, and it gives them a good sense of confidence that they have been able to overcome these obstacles, that they can climb a volcano. That's a good thing for a kid. We want them to have that confidence.
What are the ages for this? And we've got to run right
now. Oh,
we
go between 5 and 18 years old. That's our youth group.
5.
Range.
Wow.
I think the youngest ones that I've seen in the last 6 years have been 6.
Do they hike up the trails?
Actually, the kids get up there easier than I do.
Well.
Yeah. Young legs, Carl, let me tell you.
Little Dickens. Okay, we have to run. Jennifer Finnegan from Lassen Park Foundation, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you
and
so much.
For throwing such a wonderful fundraiser last Thursday.
You're welcome.
I can go back to the next one, Linda tells me, in 45 years.
Fantastic.
Okay, all right.
I'll schedule it.
Hey, when we come back, Shasta College is with us, and they've got a good group of people, and they're always interesting. We'll be right back.
$1.9 trillion package of spending on the coronavirus and various Democrat priorities on the verge of winning approval in the House, the measure that Republicans dismiss as a progressive slush fund. The Senate passed the bill 50-49 over the weekend, every Democrat voting yes, every Republican no. Security is extremely tight around a Minneapolis courthouse as a high-profile trial looms that involves a police custody death of George Floyd.
Jury selection begins today in the trial of Derek Chauvin, who's charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter in Floyd's death. He pled not guilty. Picking a jury is expected to take at least 3 weeks as prosecutors and defense attorneys try to weed out people who may be biased against
them. That's correspondent Julie Walker. Late word, the judge has now postponed the jury selection process. Things going from bad to worse in Myanmar, where some pro-democracy activists in their ongoing protest against a recent military coup have been shot dead by security forces.
In photos widely shared on social media, a Catholic nun dressed in white with a black veil is shown kneeling in front of armed soldiers asking them to retreat. Some kneel down to speak with her, their hands in prayer. But shortly after that, witnesses say, the security forces opened fire, killing 2 demonstrators and severely injuring a 3rd. Protests are taking place in cities and towns all over Myanmar, answering a trade union appeal for mass walkouts to bring the economy to a standstill, in hopes of forcing the military regime to allow Myanmar's elected government to return to power.
That's a BBC's Celia Hatton. Checking Wall Street now, the Dow up 456 points, NASDAQ ahead 41 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I have 2 dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynovite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started Dynovite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a Dynovite dog. And he has 0 issues today. He won't eat his food without Dynovite. When I get out the Dynovite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. Dynovite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynovite from DINOVITE.com.
Pursuing its global warming agenda, the Biden administration has sent John Kerry abroad. He's now in England.
President Biden has climate change at the top of his agenda, and his climate envoy, John Kerry, a former Secretary of State, is touring the world trying to corral nations into tougher targets to cut greenhouse gases. The UK is on the same mission, and today both teams will compare notes. There's been criticism that the November summit is unfocused. Some critics say it will fail unless it persuades all nations to set targets that will keep emissions within agreed limits.
That's the BBC's Roger Harabin. Pope Francis back in the Vatican now following his historic 4-day visit to Iraq. The Pope and his traveling delegation were seen off with a farewell ceremony at the Baghdad airport. During the visit, he met with a powerful Shiite cleric as well as members of the Christian community in Iraq. News and analysis, townhall.com. The U.S. and South Korea reaching an agreement in principle on a new deal, a new arrangement for sharing the cost of the ongoing American troop presence in South Korea.
Details of this deal remain unknown. However, the accord includes a negotiated increase in South Korea's share of the cost for U.S. troop presence. So says our State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs. Talks broke down during the Trump administration over Washington's demand for a five-fold increase in South Korea's share of the cost.
That's correspondent Andrew Stewart. Philippine police, backed by military forces, killed nine people over the weekend in a series of raids against suspected communist insurgents, with authorities saying the suspects opened fire first. Others, though, claim those killed were unarmed activists. Police say all of those killed were associated with communist terrorist groups and had shot at officers while they were serving search warrants. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Thank you. I was in here interacting with our guest, and you thought I was going to run out of this, and you're probably right. Thank you, Ashley. Hey, good morning, everybody. 8:05 in the morning here on the 8th of March, 2021, and this is with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. She'll be back tomorrow. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Ashley, of course, is at the helm, and this is National...
International Women's Day.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I will be very polite to Susanna Johnson-Fulton, because she's in here. And you... Of course.
Of course. And Jennifer's on the line.
And Jennifer's on the line. But she's part of this, though,
yes.
Right? Okay. What's the weather look like?
We're looking at a 70% chance of showers today with a high of only 53 degrees, dropping down to 40 tonight. If you like what you see today, we're going to see lots more of that tomorrow into Wednesday. Things are going to start to clear up Wednesday night into Thursday with a high of 60 degrees and 66 on Friday with not a cloud in the ceiling.
Woo. Okay. We need the rain. And we'll just
we'll be getting it the next 3 days.
3 days of torrents of rain. Okay.
And snow in the mountains.
Snow in the mountains. The 89 shut down, as you put down, because of snow.
They're closed for the winter on south of the park, and then north of the park they have several plows running up and down.
Right now. Okay. Great. Hey, weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Anderson-based business, it's veteran-owned. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They've won awards for hiring veterans. They're just good all-around people at Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And if it's the first Tuesday of each month, we have Shasta College come in here with, you know what? I have not had an uninterested show. And there have been times that when Peter Griggs, good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
Hop in there. And you are the public affairs kind of guy there.
Sure, the marketing and outreach.
The marketing and outreach. And the and there's been a couple of times that I've thought that this is going to be a long hour. And I've been wrong every time.
We've had great shows.
Oh, I'm all in like today. I am so interested in this because it's like the Lassen Park Foundation people that were just here. You learn so much in a quick fire hose type of thing. Lassen Park, has been in my, I thought was totally, it's one of the least visited parks and it's so interesting. And yet during COVID, because they shut down all the state parks, they just got slammed.
Wow.
For the entire year, just slammed. And what that means is that's cool because then more money comes into the park, then they can do more things there and the safety and all this. But it also means is that when you're used to walking out, where's the one you go to, Ashley, that hike you go to?
Kings Creek is my favorite.
Yeah, but all of a sudden instead of being two people on the trail, there's 100 people on the trail.
So, you know, so it's got its pluses and minuses. But what it did was, I hope, is introduce a lot of people to the beauty up there.
Well, and Lassen is definitely one of the gems of our area.
Yeah, as is Shasta College.
Well, exactly. And I love these talks with you. Every time we do them, I learn something new and get to interact with our great professors and faculty, all of our staff. So we have so much going on out there. You and I have talked about this before. So much going on that oftentimes our community isn't aware of. And so these talks are a great opportunity for us to share those things.
Yeah, and the different parts out there, you know, and every month you bring in a different one of your divisions out there, or a different group of
we do.
Instructors.
Yeah, we try not to duplicate too much. We've had a couple of, you know, come in a few times, but by and large, I don't think we've duplicated too often.
No, so, you haven't. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get started here with Susanna Johnson Fulton, who is the botany instructor. Whoa, botany. Okay. Who is Suzanne? I'm sorry, Susanna Johnson Fulton. I want to say Savannah. I don't know why, but Susanna Johnson Fulton. Tell us about
it's
you.
It's okay. Think about this song, Oh, Susanna.
Oh, okay. I got it now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having us. It's really exciting to be able to get on the air and talk about one of my favorite topics, which is botany and teaching. And then, of course, teaching at Shasta College is...
Did that just fall down?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll fix that later.
let me put that up.
There you go. Okay, got it. We're talking about a screen we put up in front of the microphones to help people so they can know the distance to be at. But okay, so where did you come from? Are you local or did you come from someplace else?
I am sort of local. I was actually born in Huntington Beach and then moved to Bakersfield. So most of my childhood was in Bakersfield, California. So that's sort of local, the other end of the valley from us. And then I ended up moving to Utah, finished out my high school in Utah. And it was actually as a senior at Orem High in Utah that I took a class where it was called Unified Studies, and that was my actual first time doing a plant collection and really learning about plants. And it was really, I developed a love for plants and for nature in general. And then right after graduating, I ended up going to Eugene, Oregon, getting on a bus. And as young, right out of high school, and going out to Eugene to help with doing trail work and with a organization called Northwest Youth Corps, and building trails and helping with different forestry projects. And so then my love for nature and plants developed even more. After that, I went to college in Idaho, actually, and a junior college out there. And I ended up starting out as an art major, actually.
Wow.
Even though I have this love for nature and for plants and whatnot, but I'd always loved to draw and paint as a young woman, as a child, and I just felt pushed towards that with my talents. But during that time, I just was pulled towards the sciences. I took a botany class at that junior college, and decided then that I would just continue in that route and go into the sciences. And I really wanted to be involved with with conservation, and became very interested in how humans use plants for medicine, for food, for clothing. And so then went off to university and went that route. I minored in anthropology, majored in botany to connect the human use and different cultural uses of plants. And still took, you know, oil painting, still did ceramics, still pulled the art into it. Now I'm just too busy. I don't do art anymore. Hopefully one day I will.
Now you can press flowers.
Yeah.
I think everybody's got pressed flowers someplace.
Yeah, there's the kind of art you can do with botanicals is amazing.
And so you got into the instruction part and ended up over here at Shasta College.
Yeah, I ended up getting a master's in botany and then PhD in botany, and ended up going the teaching route and wasn't quite sure where I would go, as we'll be discussing different directions you can go with botany, yeah, with plant science, and I've loved it ever since. So
that's great. So let's talk about this. What is botany?
So botany is the study of plants,
mm-hmm,
and looking at the anatomy. So, you know, people think, okay, human anatomy, the muscles, the tissues, the vascular tissue and whatnot. Well, plants have that as well. So just as we have our blood vessels getting oxygen around and nutrients around our body, mm-hmm, plants also have a vascular system. Unless you're a moss or a liverwort, which are the really more early evolving, more simple plants. And there's a lot of complexity there. As the students who are online are going to also mention, when they were taking botany, just students usually say, wow, I had no idea there was so much to learn about with plants. So then there's the plant physiology, understanding, of course, photosynthesis and what's happening inside those cells and cellular parts and whatnot. So we get into all that in botany, and as well as getting into the molecular side of things.
Why is this important?
Yeah, that's a good question. just thinking about, you know, today.
Yeah.
Have you used plants today?
Used plants?
Yeah, what did you have for breakfast?
I'm sure that coffee is a plant, that it comes from beans that's grown, so that's got to be a plant, I would think. I don't think it's a fruit. I'm not even sure what it is. It's coffee. I'm not sure. Okay, eggs? No eggs there. But they eat grain.
Very good.
Which has the big thing to do with it. And I imagine that if you think about it, that plants, and don't worry about that thing. I'll get a screwdriver at some point and fix that. The plants that go into feeding other, you know, feeding animals, if you're into the meat side of it. The study of how you can enhance plants so that they maybe are hardier to live in different areas and all that. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, very. You just hit a lot of wonderful points there about examples of why plants are so important to us. And coffee is a wonderful example in showing one plant and how just – what it's done to human population.
And economies, and
how it's spread around the world and how important it is in so many people's daily lives. So plants are so important to us, not just for food and for medicine and for clothing, for building, for construction, but also for beauty. And there's spiritual connections with plants,
sure,
and religious,
because that's what you usually think is, you know, the beauty of the plants.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a quick break here. I'm with Susanna Johnson Fulton, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to one of her students, Micah Chavez, and Jennifer's on the line. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk to you two when we get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy's been doing this since 1993. She's built two separate divisions, one for insurance and one for financial advice. If you're looking for a second opinion on a retirement plans or a 401, things have changed a lot over the last couple of years, give Judy a call. Free review and evaluation, 221-0441. That's 221-0441. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back with Shasta College.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean, healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Bare necessities. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the station, the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And this portion of the show is brought to us by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Everything from watch repair to replacing batteries in your watches for like $5 to a great selection of jewelry ranging from estate jewelry to Native American to pieces that they have designed and built themselves. That there's no other store in town that can do all of these things like that. That's Four Winds Jewelry and super people down there too at 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading. I'm here with Shasta College, and I'm here today with the botany department, and Suzanne Johnson-Fulton is the instructor, but she brought with her Micah Chavez. Good morning, Micah.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And when he walked in, I said, I know you. And he said, yeah, I was on here 4 years ago. So obviously you haven't changed a lot.
Oh, thank you.
And Jennifer, I did not get Jennifer's last name. Hello?
It's Jennifer Poor. Hi.
Hi. Micah, botany. I mean, you just don't think of botany, you know, when you're looking at a choice. I mean, I don't, but obviously people do. But what brought you into the botany department?
When I first started Shasta College, I was more interested in horticulture. And so I was into growing my food crops.
Right.
But
right.
The more I got into sciences, I started to get introduced to botany. So it obviously wasn't a first choice for me either. Uh-huh. But just getting more involved and more interested in science led me to the more botany side of things.
So what is it about botany that turns your switch?
Well, first, I'm a plant nerd, and that's kind of what got me interested.
A plant nerd. Okay. I love that. That's the first time I've heard that. I've heard about nerds, but never a plant nerd. Is it because...
Oh, we're everywhere.
Well, obviously. So
I actually do call my students plant nerds.
Oh, is
sometimes
that right?
When I email them. Oh. I hope I don't ever offend anyone, but so it's great to hear Micah actually call himself that, too.
Well, that means that you're interested in all types of plants, or is there a specific group of plants?
For me, it's more crop plants, stuff you can eat.
Okay. Well, that's a huge important thing about that, because without that, it could take we could be in serious problems, as we all know. And Jennifer, what got you into botany?
You know, I grew up in Northern California, and the area is so beautiful, and you know, my family is really outdoorsy. But what really kind of got me into it was a book I read by Barbara Kingsolver, who's a biologist, and she just described areas by the plants that grew there. And I didn't know what the story meant. And it made me think of, like, my immediate surroundings. So that was, like, initially kind of what pushed me really in the direction of botany.
Now, you've worked for Sierra Pacific, is that right?
Yes.
And did you...
I was a botanist there for 5 seasons.
Wow.
Looking for rare plants in California.
You know, people don't realize how, you know, they think of Sierra Pacific, and they think, you know, some people think of very damaging things. But Sierra Pacific has probably got one of the best records out there for taking care of the property they own.
Yes, they have a really great botany program, and they contribute a lot of information to what's known about rare plants in California. Maybe they're maybe one of the top people that contribute what's known. Yeah.
Okay. And, Micah, what have you learned in your botany class? I mean, there's probably so much. You've been doing this for a while. But what was probably one of the most, maybe the most important or the most startling thing that you've learned that kind of keeps you going to that next page?
For Susanna's class, since I started in horticulture, that's more of growing plants for use or aesthetics, such as landscaping. And going into botany, it's much, much more focused on understanding, as Susanna said, the physiology and also the diversity of plants and the classifications. And so that was kind of my biggest takeaway, was just kind of how much diversity there is. And also the field trips with Susanna's class really cemented all that.
Well, let's get into that. You do, you've taken Susanna. You've been offered, you've taken your students in some pretty exotic places, Mexico, Honduras, Fiji. Can I go on that next Fiji tour? Is it paid for by the college? Is it paid for by Shasta College? And while you're out looking at plants, I'll do my research on underwater plants.
There you go. There are scholarships for students, and you are a community member, so you would definitely be able to apply for one.
So how do you get these in? I mean, how do you get them out into these exotic? I mean, some Fiji. You know, Mexico, not so exotic. Honduras, yeah, you're getting into it a little bit, but Fiji?
Well, okay. So for my general botany class, we don't necessarily go on the big international trips.
Right.
That's another course that I'm involved with. But for a botany class, we do go on at least 2 to 4 field trips, depending on the weather and how things are going that semester.
Mm-hmm.
We do go out to Lassen, spend the day out at Lassen. As you already mentioned, we are so lucky to be close to such an amazing national park.
Do you see different because of the volcanic? Because it is a volcano. Different types of plants there than you do, say, in another park?
I think so, definitely. You've got different kinds of rocks and you've got a lot of different geology going on there. And then when I do take students, we go to different elevations and we talk about just how different the plants are as they as we go up in elevation, and so then we I usually take them out on the Castle Lake area, and also different a trail near Shasta Lake. Mm-hmm. So we go and we compare the different kinds of plants. Students learn how to identify them with special keys, identification keys, dichotomous keys. And as Micah mentioned, and Jennifer is very involved with it, is classification, taxonomy, and learning about the different types of plants out there, ferns and the pine trees and the different wildflowers.
Okay, I may have reached the limit of my knowledge here, but aren't ferns one of the oldest type of plants?
Yeah.
Or not?
They are definitely old. You see them in drawings with dinosaurs and whatnot. So they've been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
We have 400 million years. We also have what are called bryophytes. I mentioned the liverworts and the mosses, which are even older.
Well, mosses, everybody knows about moss. And liverworts, I think I've heard of also.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we're going to have to take a break. But here's a question from one of our listeners. I hear that plants, I have these plants that grow wild in my backyard that he doesn't smoke. That looks and okay, I was just kidding about the smoking part. That grow wild in my backyard that look and smell like green onions. I'm hesitant to eat this because I heard about a couple that went camping up here that made a stew from wild plants they gathered, and one died and the other had kidney or liver damage. They used what they thought was wild onions. Turns out it was a kind of hemlock. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, hemlock. Yeah.
Well, hemlock,
poison,
of course.
Poison hemlock.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look or smell like onions at all.
Okay.
So are they specifically asking what?
They just said, he says, I'm hesitant to eat it because they look and smell like green onions. But hemlock looks totally different.
Yeah, it's very different. It's more of a lacy type of leaves, and they grow fairly tall. Mm-hmm. And have more of a look like carrot types of leaves. And then hemlock, you would notice purple splotches around the base of where the leaf attaches in. And Jennifer, do you have any input on this? As far as I'm aware, if it smells like onions and they have onion-type leaves, then...
Yeah, those little stems that come out.
Yeah, then it should be wild onion.
Yeah, those two are very not very easy to mix up because they look so different. But it was curious to know what plant they found.
Yeah, so there, Jimmy.
But if you'd like to know what a plant is, you might be able to email a photo of it to the botany department.
Yeah, definitely. If this caller or the person who sent in the message wants to take a picture and send it over to me, maybe we could share my email address. And
of course we can.
And there's a lot of wonderful resources online.
Yeah, Jimmy, take a photo of it and you send it to Ashley. Let's get this email address onto the. Into the chat room, and your email address is?
It's sfulton@shastacollege.edu.
Okay, sfulton, F-U-L-T-O-N, at Shasta, is it dot, or just Shasta College?
shastacollege.edu.
There you go. And then you can send a photo to Susanna, and she'll look at it, and then she'll say, it looks like an onion to me, so it's not, and it's not hemlock. Okay.
Right. But yeah, that is a good point to always be. There's a lot of wonderful edible wild
mushrooms.
Plants out there. But always be very careful what you eat, and always get a professional's opinion.
Yeah, or
look it up. Or
look
there's
it
a
up.
Lot.
If
there's a lot of wonderful guidebooks out there.
Books you can take
well.
Out there too. Mm-hmm. I've got a number of books for plants from this area. So when you're out there kind of looking to make sure if you can eat it, throw it in the stew and
Right. There's a couple great local foraging. Types of books that I can
really?
share the...
Okay. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business here in town. And Jeff Wurst knows about fixing windshields, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2.5 feet in length. Jeff can fix that. He doesn't waste your time. He'll take a look at your windshield. If he says, I can't fix that, he'll just send you on your way with a recommendation of where to take it to. Or he'll fix it, and then he guarantees it for life. It doesn't get any better than that. He doesn't take chances with you or your family's safety. For an appointment, call 241-8373 for a free evaluation, or stop by 3208 South Market Street. We'll be right back with Shasta College. It's 46 degrees out there. We're looking for rain. It sure looks like rain. And 8:33 in the morning here on the 8th of March.
Every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn, just like every cowboy sings his say its song. Every rose has its thorn.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Raiding Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Raiding Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Come from the hidden pine trails of the forest. Come taste the
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, truly a community bank, locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They care about our community. They've been moving local dreams forward throughout this COVID crisis. They were one of the leaders, if not the leader, in the Paycheck Protection Program, Payroll Protection Program, where they saved dozens of businesses, hundreds of jobs. Through Cornerstone Community Bank, three branches. If you're our friends down in Red Bluff, it's at 500 Riverside Way, 1845 California Street, right downtown Redding. And the other, of course, is the main branch at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the old Cornerstone Shopping Center. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. I'm here with Shasta College and with the head of the Botany Department, Susanna Johnson Fulton, Micah Chavez, who was a student at Shasta College and just getting ready to graduate from UC Davis.
That's right.
And Jennifer, who's on the line, who is also a graduate of UC Davis. So let me ask these questions. Let me start with Micah. Micah, was your, you know, obviously just graduating from UC Davis, and what's your degree in?
I'm doing a Bachelor of Science in Biochemistry and Molecular Bio.
Okay. And so when you were going to Shasta College, obviously you took the botany classes and it had you interested. So can you compare your experiences?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, besides the fact that one is a lot smaller than the other one.
Of course. But for UC Davis, the only thing that I really prefer them over Shasta College for is the opportunity for research. Mm-hmm. And there are many labs that get a lot of resources for that. But other than that, Shasta College was by far more enjoyable and a better learning experience for me. I enjoyed the instructors. I enjoyed the students. A lot of the students I went to Shasta College with are still some of my best friends today. And UC Davis, I was a little more busy, so it was harder to.
But you're also one of many.
Of course.
You know, and you've got to, you know, when you go into a lecture hall and there's 200 people in there, at least that's what I remember. It could have changed by now. It could have gotten bigger. And Jennifer, you, what about your experiences at Shasta College? How did they prepare you for UC Davis?
Oh, gosh. Shasta College was a great experience preparing me for UC Davis. There's a lot of hands-on instruction at Shasta College. They spend a lot of extra time with you. And the classes there are like the foundational classes. If you're transferring from a JC to a UC or a state university, you really want to have like all those, like your basic math, your basic sciences, under your belt pretty good. And Shasta College definitely prepared me for that because they had a lot of tutoring and they have longer semester time. And also, of course, the teachers are amazing. There's a lot of high quality teachers there.
Okay. Well, okay. And now microbiology. Is that what you said?
Biochemistry.
Biochemistry. What can you do with biochemistry?
Well, for me, I'm looking to possibly do research with continuing research with wheat. So I was working in a Dubkowski lab down in UC Davis, and we were looking to identify agronomically important traits in wheat. So in the future, with hopes of increasing yield. And
Is that GMO stuff?
Not necessarily. Not for what we were doing. What we were doing was trying to discover and denote certain genes, so that way later on we can breed superior varieties, not really using molecular bio techniques to change it.
All right. Wow. And you did all this, Susanna. You started them along the way.
That's exciting. Yeah, they were both amazing students. And in the botany class that I teach, we do it takes about three lab periods, and it's called the GMO Discovery Lab, and the students get to take extract DNA from different kinds of food products, and they're looking specifically for plant markers in the DNA that show that, yes, there's plants in that food, and then they're also looking for markers that show that those plants had been, whether or not they've been genetically modified, whether or not they have genes in them from some other organism. And so they got to go through that whole process of extracting DNA and then taking that DNA and then putting it through polymerase chain reaction, PCR, And at the college, we have the machinery.
You have a thermocycler out
there.
Yeah,
we have a thermocycler. Thermocycler. Good question. You put your DNA samples in along with some other important ingredients, and it's like a little you put them in a little test tube, and there's chemical reactions that occur within, and you are looking for a specific region of DNA, but in order to find it, you need millions of copies of it. And so within a thermocycler, it cycles through different temperatures to allow for the DNA to actually, we know double helix, to actually untwist and open up. And then another temperature for the special primers that are going to look for that region to attach. And then another temperature to actually make copies of that section. So they make millions of copies of a certain region of DNA, and then we try to look for it, hopefully find it, in what's called gel electrophoresis, which separates out the DNA.
Okay. Well, let me stop you there, because after thermocycler, I started going downhill quick. So what it does, though, is it allows you to check the DNA of plants.
Exactly.
And see if there's anything else in them that's kind of maybe a surprise. Why is this plant more hardy? And then you break it down like that. This one's got a DNA molecule or whatever that makes this plant hardier in colder weather or something.
Yes, and that sounds like that's what Micah's lab is working on, and but in the botany class, that experience allowed students to learn how to use those kinds of tools, and maybe we have a better understanding.
Sure.
Learning about these terms, which are kind of challenging and kind of go over our head generally, but understanding and seeing, okay, this is how that works. And then later, like with Micah, he ended up going in that direction and actually working in a genetics lab and just being aware of that side of botany, not just in the field learning plant names or learning about photosynthesis, but understanding genetic modification and DNA and how
I can see where people can get fascinated on something like this. If your mind is in that direction, and we have a thermocycler. I mean, is that something ordinary or that you see at community colleges?
I would say potentially not.
It seems like that would be a specific piece of equipment that you would not see. Micah?
No, I agree, because Shasta College has a lot of resources and equipment that a lot of other community colleges don't. In fact, in Davis, a lot of graduate students were surprised that I even messed with what's called an NMR machine. It's a fancy chemistry machine, but they have to graduate and get into a grad program before they can even use one.
And you are very familiar with it.
Of course.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, we have to take a break. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Only place I've had my hair cut in 14 years is right there. They work on appointments only, and they've done that before COVID started, so you don't have to wait. I can't wait till they open the shop up again so I can get in there early and catch up on all my reading. They have the Car and Track, aviation magazines, catalogs, which are some of my favorite things. And you'll have a great experience there. Find out what's happening in town. And finally, it's Man's Last Stronghold. Yes, it says so right on the window out there. Man's Last Stronghold. Linda walked in there one day, and she says, oh, walked out. She said, there's a lot of testosterone in there. She had to shave her legs again. So I'm sure she was kidding. Cypress Square Barbershop right across from Subway down there. We'll be right back.
I am the river flowing, I am the desert dry, I am the four winds blowing, I am the sunset sky, I am the forest breathing, I am the ocean.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back
to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or in Anderson across some Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in Jefferson, state of mind.
Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
I see trees of green.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio. It's the KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. The time is 8:51 in the morning here on the 8th of March. It's 46 degrees out there. We're going to get some rain today. 70% chance today, 90 tomorrow. The weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And we're here with Shasta College and specifically Susanna Johnson-Fulton, who's the botany instructor out there, and Micah Chavez, who is a graduate of Shasta College and is getting ready to graduate from UC Davis. And Jennifer, I didn't hear your last name last time.
Poor. Jennifer Poor.
And Jennifer, who is over in Salt Lake City, and because then I don't get so upset that you're not here with us this morning, Jennifer, you could have driven over in one day and then been here and then driven back, but I can understand. Now, there's with you two, Micah started in botany and switched to his
biochem
right now. And Jennifer, you were in a different major.
I wanted to do botany, but I wasn't sure what people did with it. You know, and I think a lot of people don't know what people do with botany. And I learned a lot about that in Susanna's class. There was a colloquium at the school at that time, and they had guest speakers and talk a lot about her experiences, but my career path started after Shasta College and at UC Davis. I worked in Yosemite National Park as a volunteer and camped out at some of the highest peaks in the park, doing the flora of these ancient plant communities called Sky Islands. And then I traveled the entire state of California looking for a mustard seed, mostly for research, out of Duke University. And then I landed at Sierra Pacific in Redding, doing rare plant surveys.
Okay. Wow. What can you do with a botany degree, Susanna?
So for plant taxonomy, what I have is, in plant biology, there's, in the state of California, there's a lot of rare plants, and there's so many native plants. It's one of the most diverse states in our country with plants.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of laws protecting our native flora and the rare plants that occur there. So like BLM, Caltrans, PG&E, U.S. Forest Service, and then, of course, there's tons of private consulting firms that conduct these surveys.
So a degree in botany is a you can get a job out there? Susanna, pretty quick.
Yes, you can.
And Jennifer, obviously you are, and you're over in Salt Lake City, and you're studying what right now?
So I'm studying a plant called Lysianthes, which is the closest relative to peppers in the tomato plant family, Solanaceae. And there's an NSF grant-funded project here that's with a bunch of different schools, even the Kew Garden, the Royal Botanic Garden in London. And I'm wrapping up a revision of a genus, of this genus that we just completed, actually, at UC Davis. I just moved out here to finish up the rest of it.
Okay.
At the University of Utah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you. Gosh, you know, you don't think of things like in horticulture or botany that you can walk right into a well-paying job. Susanna, now, during this pandemic, you started something called Botany in a Box Lab Kit. What was that?
Well, as you all can imagine, just with the start of the pandemic, all classes switching to online, some subjects were much easier to switch over to online. But science classes where you have hands-on labs, where you need to be in a lab setting and have your microscope and or be out in the field together, it was very challenging moving to an online, trying to switch to a fully online lab. And I actually felt very, in a way, kind of fake, you know, trying to say, okay, these students are taking a full botany class, but they're not going to be getting what students should be getting in a full botany class with a lab experience.
Yeah.
And so what helped me feel a lot better about it was putting together these botany in a box take-home lab kits. And so students do labs. They don't have a microscope at home, but they have different lab handouts that they go through and look at the images of what microscope slides would look like. In addition to that, they do some online lab simulations as if they're in a lab setting. And then Botany in a Box is just full of all these different kits so that they can extract DNA from a plant. They extract DNA from rice and wheat and compare just visually the amounts of DNA in each one. I shouldn't say what it is if any of my students are listening out there, which one has more. But that's one of the examples. They also get to take home a couple live plants and just observe how they grow if they tilt them on the side. Or also they take home some little fern spores. We talked about ferns. Fern spores, and get to actually watch the life cycle of a fern at home. And they get to grow some radish seedlings that have different kinds of genetic being able to observe, do some genetic studies as well at home. And so it's been a way to help make the class feel like a true botany class as much as I can in an online setting.
Right. My roommate in college did a study on, does electricity help plants grow or does it inhibit them? But he would put something into the soil, and then he would run his hand generator. three or four times a day. I don't remember what happened after that. I'm not sure what happened after that. Does electricity affect plants? We've run out of time here. And Suzanne, as usual, there's a thousand more questions I have to ask. If you go into, say, I imagine what your home looks like. I mean, imagine there's a few plants there. What would you tell, or this may not be your expertise, but if you've got here in Redding and Shasta County, what would you tell people to grow in their yards that have a chance?
In their yard?
Yeah.
I would definitely, that is more of a horticulture side
type
of thing.
Yeah, that's
which,
what I thought. That's not a fair
question. Which is still in the umbrella of plant science,
right.
Definitely. That's not my expertise, but
right.
It's something I'm very interested in. But in Redding, where we live, it's so dry, and it makes a lot of sense to go with native plants.
Okay.
And so we do have a California Native Plant Society, a local chapter that's very active, and a couple times a year they do native plant sales, and they're very, very low, decent priced native plants that people can purchase. But
that's a great idea. So you can put it out there instead of something that's native to our region here,
mm-hmm.
because as you know, this is most of California is a desert that we've managed to pour
and there's a lot
billions
of
gallons of water in.
A lot of beautiful native plants that people can
Thank you so much for being with us, Susanna, Micah, and Jennifer, and taking the time. We really have to run now.
Let's stay on.
Yeah, well, we could probably do another hour. Many times we get to this point, and it's kind of like, oh, I wish I had another hour right now.